Well, we're right in the middle of our Sunday message series that we've been calling Of Soul Importance. We're in the fourth week now, and we're talking about what the soul is. What is the soul, and why is it important, and what does it need to stay healthy? Your soul, as we've been saying, is the most important part of you. It's your spiritual core. It's what allows you to connect with God. Your soul is what brought you to life and what gives balance to your life. When your soul is healthy, everything works right. Your body, your mind, your choices, they all work together to create a happy and fulfilling life. But when your soul is not healthy, then even the curveballs in life can really throw you for a loop. But your soul needs certain things to stay healthy. That's the catch. And if it doesn't get what it needs, it will break down. It will wither, or it will be invaded. Just like your mind, you know, needs education, your body needs exercise, your family needs your attention, your work needs your attention, your soul also needs your attention. Your soul needs to be cared for and maintained. And you are the best and the only keeper of your soul. And that's what this series is all about. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the first two things that your soul needs to be healthy. In the first week, we talked about how your soul needs to have a future in order to be healthy. You know, life involves a lot of loss over time. We lose things. We lose people. We lose friends. But there is hope when you believe your soul has a future beyond the grave. Your soul needs a future. Then last week, we talked about something else that your soul needs. Your soul needs freedom, but not the false freedoms of this world, not the false freedoms that take you down a path of self-pity and self-destruction. True freedom, we said, comes from surrendering to the kind of life that God intends for you. That's true freedom, surrendering to God. It's paradoxical, but it's true. And the first step in surrendering to God is turning back to God and repenting. That's what we talked about last week. So, two of the things that your soul needs are hope for the future and freedom. And this week, we're going to look at the third thing that your soul needs to stay healthy. And to find out what that is, we need to look at that beautiful, famous story of the prodigal son in the gospel passage today. So the story, as you heard, is about two sons, right? And one day, the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." Now, when you think about it, that was really an outrageous request. Because what he was really saying was, "Dad, you're dead to me. I don't care if you live or die, just give me the money and give it to me now." You can imagine how hurtful and painful that would have been to the father. And yet the father was so generous that he gave his son what he asked for. So after a few days, the younger son collected all of his stuff and he went off to a distant country and he squandered everything. He lost it on a life of dissipation. You see, the younger son was trying to fill up his soul. His soul was empty. And he was trying to fill it up with all kinds of bodily pleasures. Let's see how well that worked for him. It really didn't work so well for him. As the story goes on, we hear that when he had freely spent everything, there was a severe famine in the country, and he found himself starving. He was starving. The younger son was so bad off that he finally found a job that was the worst of the worst. He ended up tending to pigs. That just sounds bad in and of itself, but if you're a Jew, it was the worst, because for Jews, pigs were unclean animals. You couldn't be anywhere around them, and here he was tending to the pigs because that's the only kind of job he could get. And it gets worse. The text says that he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the slop that he fed to the pigs. And it was here, at his lowest point in life, where he remembered his father's generosity and finally realized what his soul truly craved, to be with his father, to be with the one person who loved him unconditionally. So he got up and he went back to his father. And then comes one of the most touching passages, I think, in the entire Bible. While his son was still a long way off, that detail is important. The son was a long way off, and his father caught sight of him. He was looking for his son. And then he was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son. That was considered beneath the dignity of an old man in those days, to run. And yet he ran to his son, this son who had hurt him and betrayed him, and he ran to him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And then the son tries to confess, right? We heard that rehearsed confession, but he couldn't even get through the entire confession because his dad interrupted him. He didn't need to finish the confession because all that mattered at that moment was his father's overwhelming love for him. It's all that mattered. And his father then gave him what he did not deserve, but so desperately needed. The robe, the ring, the sandals, they all meant the same thing. The son had been restored to the family. He was loved as if he had never left. And his soul was finally satisfied because it was grateful. It was grateful. You can only imagine how this once ungrateful son was now overcome with gratitude. So the father threw a great party to celebrate. You heard that in the story. But then the second part of the story comes, and that's equally as important, because the older son refused to go to the party. The older son also had a soul that was empty, but in a different way. He didn't run off and waste his father's money. He was loyal. He stayed at home. He didn't run away. He worked. But the whole time, he was bitter and resentful against his father. You can tell that from the way he talked to his father when his father came outside and begged him to join the party. He said to his father, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders." Are you listening to the language? I served you. I did not disobey your orders. Yet you didn't even give me anything. See, the older son didn't see his father as a loving parent, but as a taskmaster who had power over him, whose orders he had to obey so that one day he could inherit his father's wealth. The older brother acted like he was the father's servant, not his son. He followed the rules, but was not grateful for how close he was to his father this whole time. Out of jealousy and anger and self-pity, he was incapable of opening himself to his father's love. And as a result, he felt no gratitude to his father, only bitterness. And you know what's funny is I think that many of us view God this way too. There's a lot of people who see God this way. You know, that God is a rule maker, and God's rules are orders that have to be followed, or bad things happen. We won't go to heaven when we die. The problem is that when we think of God like that, we don't see God as he truly is, a father who loves us and wants to keep us healthy and happy. Like the older brother, when we see God in that way, as a taskmaster, we're often not grateful for how close he is to us and how much he loves us. Your soul was made to crave. It was made to crave. It was made to crave good things like meaning and significance or security and love. Your soul was made to crave a sense of wholeness and tranquility. But more than anything else, your soul was made to crave God's love, the love of the Father. But if your soul is ungrateful for that love, if it turns away from that love, like the two sons in the gospel, it will feel empty. And the problem is, when your soul is empty and it's not satisfied, the body and the mind try to satisfy themselves. They start craving things that can damage the soul, bad things, things that can hurt you. But if your soul is grateful for the Father's love and his closeness, it will be fully satisfied and you'll no longer need to crave anything. The one thing that will calm the restless soul, that will give the soul back its peace, is gratefulness. You know, for years, there were two holidays during the church year that I dreaded. This is a confession to you, okay? I dreaded Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Can you imagine why? Because on both days, you have to fast. And I don't like fasting. I love to stand up here and talk about self-sacrifice and self-denial, but fasting from food, that's not my thing. I don't like it because I get hungry. So I devised an ingenious method to get through it. I followed the rules. I would fast all day like a good Catholic and usually be grumpy most of the day. And then at 11:30 p.m. at night, I would get on the phone and I would order an enormous cheese pizza. And when it showed up at 12:01 a.m., I would gobble it down with a glass of scotch. It was great, but I could just see God looking down at me and slowly shaking his head. Roger, you missed the point. Because I had gone right back to my cravings. See, Lent is not about giving up something for its own sake. Lent is about giving up something in order to awaken your soul to what it truly needs. That connection with God, that love of God that your soul truly hungers for. Fasting is about growing in gratitude for the blessings that God gives us every single day. And it was the same thing with the prodigal son. He had to fast. It wasn't his choice. It was forced on him when the famine came and he was starving, but it had the same effect. When he was denied all that pleasure, he finally came to his senses and he saw and remembered his father's generosity and grew in gratitude. Gratitude is what the soul needs. Last week, I received an email from a friend at my last church. It was not a happy email. He wrote to tell me that he had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. The email was upsetting, obviously. But it was also inspiring. It began like this. He said, "I've been diagnosed with ALS and can't speak. But your homily on Sunday gave me the courage to go on. There is a bright future after death, eternal life." Well, as I was reading that email, tears came to my eyes. You see, this man, my friend, could have been bitter about his diagnosis, like the older brother. He could have asked, "Why me? Why did this happen to me?" He could have screamed out to God, "This isn't fair," and felt sorry for himself. But he didn't do any of that. Instead, throughout that entire email he wrote to me, he simply expressed gratitude. He said he was grateful for the promise of heaven. He was grateful for his relationship with God. He was grateful for every blessing he'd ever had. And I could tell that even in the worst moment of his life, his soul was truly satisfied, truly fulfilled, and truly at peace. The soul needs gratitude. And the whole purpose of Lent is to awaken our souls to that need, to the one and only craving that will truly satisfy any of us, the overwhelming love of the Father.